Yeah, so I got the call, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and our buddy Tony Fay said, hey man, Shaquille O'Neal is coming into town, and would you like to talk to him?
Man, Tony Fay's on a heater.
He really is.
What a year. The year of Tony.
It kind of is the year of Tony. So I said, of course I want to talk to Shaq. And he was like, well, we'll figure something out. He was there to participate with Avery Johnson today at the Hyatt Regency downtown.
Wow.
Right there by Old Reunion Arena.
Two Giants.
And it was in support of the St. Philip's School and Community Center, which St. Philip's is a pretty sizable outfit. Charity-wise, down in South Dallas. And you would not have believed the amount of swinging Ds that were there that pump money into this foundation. And it was really cool to see, to be honest with you. A lot of the kids from that area down there, too, were all there to see Shaq, and they were so excited. It was really, really cool. It was such a for as cold as it was, it was such a good vibe, such a warm scene down there at the Hyatt. And so the idea was, and by the way, the St. Philip School is it's a private school in South Dallas. And they got 240 students all the way from pre-K to sixth grade. And it's going to get bigger, I think, in a couple of years. But it's an awesome school for a lot of kids that wouldn't have the opportunity to go to a school like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shaq was there to help pump this up. And so Tony said, look, can you be down there at 9:30, 10 o'clock, whatever? I'm like, just say the word and I'll be down there. Now, Shaq is one of those guys that has got a different phone number about every other year. And if you looked at my phone, you would see about six Shaquille O'Neal listings.
He gives you his number, but it's going to change.
No doubt. So I was like, I'm not even going to reach out. He knows I'm coming. I'm not even going to reach out and say, hey, this is what I plan on doing.
How well do you two know each other? How many times have you visited with Shaq?
So I'll set it up because it's been a long time. Back in probably 96, which is his first year with the Lakers, there was a game here. I was covering it for the Ticket.
Yes, you were.
And so when Shaq comes to town, or Michael Jordan or LeBron or any of these guys, Kobe, the larger-than-life figures, what happens is after a game, the entire Dallas media throng descends upon them, no matter how good the Mavericks are.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the Mavericks in 96 were terrible. They were the worst team in the NBA. But there would be 50, 60... I don't even know how many people they would shove in to the visiting locker room to get just a couple of minutes with these larger-than-life figures. And so he did, like, first year with the Lakers, all right, game's over. He does, like, 15 minutes, which is a long time to sit there and answer questions.
Yeah.
And the media kind of disperses, and he's putting his socks on and everything, and I kind of walk up to him, and I'm like, I need 1 minute with you. And he's like, bro, I just did 20. And I'm like, no. I think you'll like this. It's going to be funny and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's just going to be, what would you do to win a title? Because he had not won a title before. And so he's like, you got 1 minute. And so I did that with him. He laughed. And he was like, you got more of this? I'm like, yeah, I got more of this.
Over the years, you two talked so many times. It was so fascinating. I never quite understood how it happened and what sort of magical spell you had on him, but obviously right through those 2006 NBA Finals, where you darn near committed an act of treason, hanging out with Shaq late into the Miami Heat night on their title night.
Yep.
I believe I've sort of forgiven you, but I still keep an awkward
eye. What was I supposed to do?
I don't know. I suppose think about Dirk at that moment.
I know.
He wasn't hanging out with Shaq drinking champagne.
So over the years, yes, we've gotten to know each other, and he's awesome. He was, you know, welcomed my wife into the Heat locker room. And
that's right.
So he's a super nice guy, and if we can see each other, we will see each other. But I haven't done an interview with him like this in a long time. A long time. I don't even know the last time I got to sit down with him.
Have you talked to him since we've been in this building?
Well, I was thinking, I don't remember, but I would catch him.
Well, you came on when he was on with Bob and Dan.
Yeah, for the SMU forum.
Yes, and that was wonderful, and he definitely knew that that's Corby, and I don't even think you had to introduce yourself that day.
No.
And then, by the way, on a regular basis, and I mean introduce yourself, Corby was downline, so it was just his voice. Of course, he would recognize Corby. And then, I swear, once a month, maybe once a week, his clip on Instagram of you and him at a press conference where he does mention your wife.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, whoa, he just owned that guy. Like, they don't know it's you.
Right.
And it's awesome.
He's walking away and pointing at me and all that.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, anyway, I think it's probably been since he played, which was 2010, 2011, because he would come through town.
Sure.
It's not like I'm flying to L.A. to go see him now. He doesn't come to Dallas anymore, and so we don't
I feel like some of these were set up where you could get him on the phone and record him, too.
When he was playing.
Yeah. And I remember one other anecdote, since I've done the show with you guys, is our friend Josh texted both of us looking for you one night because Shaq was having sushi at his place.
Yeah.
And he needed Corby to get down there now. So Shaq's having sushi, and you came up, and Shaq demanded that you go down there right now. And, of course, Corby was passed out somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not. I know what that entails. I've played that game before, and I did not want to be out on a Tuesday until 4 in the morning or whatever. I was like, next time, I'll see you next time.
That's awesome.
But he would, you know, as the relationship grew, it went from doing stuff at his locker to he didn't want anybody to hear it. And so we would go back into the training room. We would go into the coach's room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story of going into Phil Jackson's office. And I'm sitting there and we're talking. And this is before the game. And I'm sitting there talking and Shaq is looking at me. And then he looks up above me and he looks at me and he goes, "You're in trouble." And somebody puts her hand on my shoulder, and it's Phil Jackson. And he looks at both of us, and he goes, "Playtime's over, kiddies."
Dang.
So there's a lot of really funny moments that kind of go along with the Shaq thing. So today, we go in there, and
unbelievable.
And I bring Van, my 12-year-old, with me.
Ooh, did he overcuss him?
No, he did not. He did not. But, you know, Van wanted to meet him, and Van didn't have... My oldest had school stuff. He had tests, and so he couldn't do it. Van didn't, and plus, it was he had a half day of school and because of the weather, and so I took Van down there. And this was a huge, big charity event. All the media from Dallas were down there. All the local TV stations were there. They all got a big scrum of about 10 minutes with Shaq. He sat down in a chair with a microphone and he answered everybody's questions. And then right then they were like, somebody was like, "You're Corby?" I go, "Yes." And they're like, "Come with me." And they whisk me up to a room a couple of levels up at the Hyatt Regency.
Mm-hmm.
And I go into this room that's kind of L-shaped. So imagine kind of a longer... the long part of the L and then a shorter part that kind of backs up against the window. And they were like, "Is this okay for you to do your interview?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "No," because these interviews get pretty randy and there are human beings in there, most of them from the charity.
Yeah. They don't understand your topic matter and they don't need to understand it.
No. And I'm kind of getting weirded out by it. And they had these two chairs sitting there where all these people that were in there were going to just sit there. We'll watch your interview. And I'm like, this is not going to work. And so Van and I go on a little recon mission and we go snag a couple of chairs from an adjoining conference room, wheel them in there.
There you go.
And put them in the back part of that L-shaped room to where we're away from everybody. Then I had to tell Tony, I'm like, "Look, when you come up here, can you please set up some sort of barrier so people aren't around us? Because frankly, it's embarrassing. Like, they don't know what I'm doing. They don't know who I am. They don't know that Shaq is getting ready to be fun time, awesome shack.
Yeah.
And so it's really awkward. And these people are looking at me like, what are you doing?
Right.
What is going on here?
I don't ask typical sports questions to Mr. O'Neill.
Yeah, exactly.
No, in fact, there's a possibility one will contain the term bag of vomit.
Right, or suggesting he might suck rattlesnake venom out of his mom's boob.
Right, and so it is...
that happened.
High-mindedness like that.
It's dodgy at best. So when he did his little scrum downstairs with the media, I told Van, I was way off to the side, so he didn't see me at all. And I told Van, I'm like, walk up there and just kind of sit beneath the camera so you can hear what he's saying. So as a little 12-year-old, he squirreled his way to the front, sat down like in front of the Fox 4 camera in front of Sam Gannon. And immediately, Shaq gets up out of his chair and walks over to him to fist bump him. All right? And Van has no idea, like kind of gets up and walks, you know, sits up and sticks his fist out for a fist bump. And then Shaq pulls it back and scrapes his hand over his head. Like,
oh, psych?
Yes, total psych. And then he sat back down. And Van's like, I cannot believe he just did that to me. So then Van and I go upstairs and we set everything up, you know, and we got it all squared away. And Brad Townsend was going to do an interview with him. Mm-hmm. Brad had like 5 minutes with him. And Mac Engel from the Star-Telegram was up there. And that's really it. And then there was about 1,000 people waiting outside to come in this room to talk to Gladhand him.
Man, imagine being Shaq.
I know. Like, every day, it's just like this.
No place to hide. Can't wear a fake mustache if you're Shaq.
No. So let's take 3 minutes here.
Yep.
Let's come back.
Okay.
And we will play the audio next.
About Corby, Van, and Shaq's get-together this morning.
Hyatt Regency this morning, benefiting the St. Phillips School and Community Center. Shaq was in town, and it was a big deal having the big fella roam around. So,
are you going to let Van talk, or what?
You can just figure it out on your own.
Okay.
All right. So, we go up there. We find a space in the VIP meet-and-greet area where we think is sectioned off enough to where... it's not going to be awkward where people are looking at us and listening to the interview. So I rolled on this from about the moment that Shaq walked in the room. Okay, so we'll just start playing it from here and can stop and start it whenever.
Okay.
What's up,
man?
What's up? That's him.
So he looks at my kid and goes, is that yours? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I remember him from downstairs.
What's up, that's him.
He says, I used to beat your daddy up all the time.
Love it.
Yeah. And I told Van.
Boy, Van might think you're cool now.
Get a general understanding.
Vague. And yeah. I'm not sure he ever really believed it, you know, like that this larger-than-life guy may have had some sort of relationship with your pops, but... Yeah, when he walked in and he was like, I used to beat your daddy up all the time. Van's like all wide-eyed.
This means more than Dave Grohl being at his birthday party, right?
I think so. Yeah, okay. Like working the Ferris wheel at Van's birthday party.
So we're going to let you guys spend just a few minutes together?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Are you getting out of here quick? Because the weather's getting ready to get to... Here, sit here.
Two.
Yeah. Ask me how many kids I got. Mm-hmm. Yeah, two. Still two, bud.
Nada. Let's get this thing going. All right. Rolling. Hello. So when are you getting out of here for real? Like the weather is getting ready. I'm going to back up over here. I don't want people hearing this.
So I had to get up because people were already starting to form a little bit of a wall and looking, and they were looking at me, and we were staring out toward them.
Right.
And so I got up, and like the picture that Bob posted on Twitter, I completely got in front of him to where they couldn't see me or my mouth moving.
So you were using Shaq as a shield.
A
screen.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are you getting out? Today or tomorrow?
Probably tonight sometime.
Okay. You got a private?
Of course. What kind of question is that?
All right. Congrats on the on 75. Which, by the way, do you realize when you were on the 50 team that you were 24, 25?
Yeah, I was the youngest. It was some so-called controversy on the team. Oh, he's young. He hasn't done anything yet. But I think I've more than proved myself.
Do you remember, like, people bitching and moaning that you were too young to be on that team?
Yeah, I do. And yeah. I kind of understood the beef. You know, it was a couple of guys that did a lot more than me, guys like Alex English and all that. But, hey, I don't write the rules.
Yeah, it worked out. Okay, I got 10 questions.
Let's
hypotheticals.
Got it.
Let's have fun. let's say you accidentally sat on a grenade.
Hold on, you still doing this? I thought you got soft on me after you got married and had babies.
No. Never.
You're still the
we'll be doing
guy?
This till we're 80.
Welcome back home, Corby.
Let's say you accidentally sat on a grenade while you were nude, randomly, all right? And it went straight up into your butt, like all the way snuggled up into your rectum. And the only way to retrieve it would be for Barkley to go in mouth first. Would you allow that to happen, or would you let the grenade explode?
I'd break in his room, and I'd go sit on his face, and I'd fart right in his mouth. I make him swallow so I can blow his fat stomach up.
Stop it. Oh my God.
That's the first one, Corby? That's number one. We have nine
blow
more.
Blow his fat Snake. Stomach up. Play that again. I thought your scenario was ridiculous. His.
And I also love that we have, like, Jim Nance delivery here from Corby.
Dude, there's charitable. There's so many charity people behind me.
Okay, it's one thing. Grenade up your rear. Barkley has to go in and get it. Listen to how over the top, compared to your scenario, his is to get the grenade out. One more time.
So-called controversy on the team. Oh, he's young. He understood the beef. You know, it was I don't write the rules.
Yeah, it worked out. Okay, I got 10 questions. Hypotheticals.
Got it.
Let's have fun. Let's say you accidentally sat on a grenade.
Hold on, you still doing this? I thought you got soft on me after you got married and had babies.
No, never.
You're still the
we'll be doing
guy?
This till we're 80.
Welcome back home, Corby.
Let's say you accidentally sat on a grenade while you were nude, randomly, all right? And it went straight up into your butt, like all the way snuggled up into your rectum. And the only way to retrieve it would be for Barkley to go in mouth first. Would you allow that to happen, or would you let the grenade explode?
I'd break in his room, and I'd go sit on his face, and I'd fart right in his mouth. And I'd make him swallow so I could blow his fat stomach up.
Okay, that works.
All right.
All right, in order to finish the season out on TV, so to continue your gig on TV, on the next broadcast, you have to wear a jersey that says .25, all right? And when Ernie asks you what you're wearing, you have to say, 0.25 is in honor of Macy Gray's blood alcohol level at the All-Star game before she sang the anthem.
Deal.
See, you're walking across the stage.
Deal.
I don't know if y'all saw that or not, but no. She was tanked. I mean, like, tanked.
Welcome back, Macy.
Walking across the stage.
Hey. 0.25 is in honor of Macy Gray's blood alcohol level at the All-Star game before she sang the anthem.
Deal.
See, you're walking across the stage.
Deal. 0.25, buddy.
All right, in order to avoid diarrhea for the rest of your life, so it never happens again, would you tell Barkley on the air that instead of wearing an NBA jacket that says 75, his should say 475 in honor of his current weight?
Deal. Easily.
No diarrhea for the rest of your life.
No diarrhea. Yes, I would tell him that easily.
What a gift for you.
Because that's how much he weighs with his big ass.
I think he's 4 bills.
Oh, yeah. He's 4 bills. Easily.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's almost like he's like, God, that guy. Like, they drive each other crazy, right? Like,
oh, my God.
Him and Barkley make each other nuts. Oh, yeah, that guy's fatter
than We've been promoting the crap out of this interview. I hope somebody that has a connection to TNT gets this to Barkley. I want that so bad for this to make their show. So
I doubt
it
will.
Even talking about me to some reporter in Dallas,
he
huh?
knows they can't play that. They can't play the fart in his face and drop a grenade in his gut.
So, Ernie, walk us through scenario one.
Right, in order for Russia not to invade Ukraine,
jeez.
All right, so this is big topical story here. you have to go to the next Laker game, and before the game, you take your clothes off and you try your hardest to hump your own statue in front of the arena.
Negative.
You're talking about avoiding a war.
I would just have to see what unfolds on TV. I'm American.
Let Eastern Europe take care of themselves. Yeah. All right, for LSU to win their first national title in basketball, you have to host a ribbon-cutting ceremony in Baton Rouge and say, we really hope this will carry us to a national championship, number one. And speaking of one, that's only 4 years younger than the average age of Michael Jackson's victims. Go Tigers.
Next question.
And at that point, he looked at me, I swear to God, like he has never looked at me before. It was very stoic, and he's trying to pay attention to the question, And then I mentioned the Michael Jackson victim thing. His head snapped around, his eyes got big as freaking basketballs, and he's just like, next question. Like, not comfortable
I'm not touching that one.
All with that.
You're on your own.
Michael
there.
Jackson's victims. Go Tigers.
Next question.
What next a kiss question. Ass you are to the Jackson family. Question. All right, you're almost 50.
Does your son listen to your show?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right, you're almost 50. You're 1 month away. Congratulations, thank by the you. Way. You got anything planned?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing at all.
Bullshit. You got something going on. All right, in order to make it to 100, in which you'll be perfectly healthy, mind and body, everything will be great at 100, I'll need you to smoke weed with Snoop, like the same amount that it takes him to get high, puff for puff, right before the first TNT playoff game.
In a legal state, so I will not get arrested. So, yes.
You would do that?
In a state that is lawful to smoke cannabis in.
Yeah, California, let's say.
Yeah, no problem.
Deal?
Deal.
None? Okay.
What a square.
To make it to a healthy 100, would you do a monthly colonic for a year? All right? So you're going to be perfectly healthy at 100. All you have to do is a colonic once a month for a year. Hang on. But it's administered by former Clippers owner Donald Sterling and three members of the Klan.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, because I want them to see all the I've been going through.
All right.
You're still crazy.
So for those who don't know, you were on Shark Week like a couple of years ago, right?
I almost died.
You did?
Yes.
So you had a faulty cage. You go down there with the sharks. You have a faulty cage. A shark gets in there. All right? So for you to basically, for all your kids to live long, successful, healthy lives, you have to go back in that shark cage, and they have to cut a little hole in your wetsuit where your ding-dong hangs out. And you're blindfolded for 90 seconds while the shark's in there with you.
I'd do it. Because if he bought it, I'd just get me a new improved remote control one with an app.
Can you show me where to get one of those?
I know. I'm waiting. Trust me. I'm waiting.
You big money guys.
Yep. I'm waiting.
Cool stuff.
So my battery's getting real low. Gotta charge it up.
All right. Would you be willing to replace your hand with a Pringles can if it meant you could go back in time and shoot like Dirk?
No.
No?
I don't like Pringles.
Well, it's not about liking Pringles. It's about shooting like dirt. No.
I don't like Pringles.
Okay.
It's just...
I don't think he understands.
I don't like Pringles.
Well, yeah, but they're not in there. It's your hand.
What if Shaq shot like dirt?
Oh.
With that size?
Oh, my God. With a Pringles hand.
With a Pringles can, yeah.
Shoot like dirt.
No.
No?
I don't like Pringles.
Well, it's not about liking Pringles. It's about shooting like dirt.
No. I don't like Pringles.
Okay. All right, Van. Last question.
So Van's sitting over there. All okay. right. He's kind of paying attention. He can't really hear anything because, again, I pushed him back a little bit.
Did you play this for him on the way home?
I did not. I'm hoping he's hearing it for the first time now.
Now is he well-dressed? Is he in a nice big game sweater?
I would say his Adidas hoodie and school pants kind of made him look okay.
Okay.
He's not sweatered and collared shirted or anything like that. So Vanny walks over, and he knew. He had seen. I told him, I'm like, you're going to ask this last question. All right, you are.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So he hadn't read the script yet, though.
Well, Van asked it, okay?
All right.
Here you go.
If you give birth to Muggsy Bogues, would it be a rough childbirth, or would he come out smooth and easy?
He'd come out the butt smooth and easy, because he reminds me of a little, I can't say the word.
Oh, you can say it.
He reminds me of a little.
All right, brother.
Give me a hug, dude.
Yeah.
So he pulls Van in. He's like, give me a hug, brother. And he pulls Van in, and it's like a giant redwood just swallowing a little fig, you know.
Gosh.
He just yanks him in and gives him a big bear hug, and it was cool. It was
you can say it.
He reminds me of a little.
All right, brother.
Give me a hug, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's see.
Take my number.
Dude.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
So, what was the ride home with Van like? Did he have a million questions, or did he just kind of sit there just stunned? Or, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what his relation at his age is to Shaq. I mean, it's all YouTube, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 for sure. Obviously. Clearly, he doesn't know anything about his playing days outside of YouTube. Everybody their age, though.
And, of course, TNT.
Yeah, 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 for sure. But everybody their age is acutely aware of what a badass Shaq was.
Yeah.
Like, if you're into the sport of basketball,
right.
Shaq is synonymous. I mean, he's almost there with Michael Jordan.
He's a legend.
Yes. I mean, it's Shaq, for God's sake.
It's different, but it's like a dinosaur. It's like... this existed, like this type of human. You know, we think that there's a type of progress that there would be like five guys like that, like him by now, like 20 or 30 years later. But
it's gone the other way.
He's still such an original guy. Like, I don't know if he's ever been duplicated and never will be.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
You wonder, do your kids know about Barkley's playing days, though?
Not like Shaq.
Okay.
I mean, because Shaq's got four rings.
It's definitely what he did on the court more so connects him to that generation of, you know, young teenagers than it would be him continuing to be visible by doing the TNT broadcast.
Yeah. I mean, that helps.
Yeah.
It helps keep his name alive.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Probably helps Barkley more than Shaq.
Well, you think about
this,
too.
Shaq is such a legacy.
You think about Shaq, too. He's not only on TV for basketball games and all the important ones.
Well, all the commercials.
The commercials. Yeah. He is America's spokesman.
Yeah.
He does. He does every one. He's probably never turned any of them down, you know? And so they're...
from pizza to back cream.
Right. All of it. And he's really good. And it works. I mean, the Q rating on Shaq has got to be through the... it has to be.
Yeah.
As high as any celebrity that there is out there.
It's true.
Just oozes likability.
Right. Him and Snoop,
and
of all people.
Always gotten it.
Yes. And that's, you know, and
he
through the years...
it. He knows how to play the game. He's the guy, rather than punching the photographer, he smiles and takes a picture
right.
of him.
I mean, he is there helping, you know, kids from South Dallas.
Right.
And he's got 7.5 minutes to go do that with me. Just because he loves it. It's fun, obviously, for him. But it's just part of who he is, too.
Yeah.
And that's the uniqueness of the guy. There's just never going to be another guy like this that completely just... he understands it. He understands how to manipulate the media for his own benefit.
You think... you kind of wonder, had Dirk been born and raised an American, he might have even been looser like Shaq.
I think so.
Career, you know?
There's a comfortability factor with the language early on. And
the culture. You know,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a big difference between
right.
Germany and growing up here.
Right. But he's always just been the ultimate class clown that's continued it on at a professional level at the highest level of sport. So it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun
God,
seeing
was
him
funny.
Again.